another win. And a big one and an easy one and a, well, another benchmark. It's hard to believe, but it's every week, seemingly, that the Bucks and Tom Brady in particular are doing that. Welcome in. This, of course, a show brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. You could reach out directly to Bill Curry Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan. He'll help you personally, thinking perhaps you want a new Ford truck. Maybe you want out of your lease. Whatever it might be, you can find Sean Sullivan and the fine folks at Bill Curry Ford. Go to his email at BillCurryFord.com. You'll find it. Or just go to the dealership, Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway there in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans and serve the community. That's what it's all about. So many Bucks players and coaches are customers there as well. That includes Vita Vea, Ali Marpet, and others. Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, Sean Sullivan, the GM, will help you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com. Tom, not much intrigue in this game. It was over very quickly. I thought the most interesting aspect of the game was how easy it was to see why it is people are calling for Matt Nagy's job. This is not the Scuttle Bears. It's Scuttle Bucks, so we won't spend too much time on it. But, boy, they hung that kid out to dry. The Bucks did exactly what they were supposed to do. They dominated a game in which they were heavy favorites. When they're at home, the Bucks just light it up, averaging over 40 points a game at home. It's really kind of silly. It's hard to glean much. This part of the schedule is but sorry. And it's the Bucks are doing what good teams do, which is take care of business, and they're making it look very, very easy. So I don't know what insight we can give other than I'm tired of watching players in the secondary get hurt, and we had two more get hurt in this game. It seems unimaginable that anybody in the history of football has had this many members of their secondary get injured. But that aside, the Bucks are 6-1.
Yeah, it's lunchtime on a Monday. Has Matt Nagy been fired yet? I would have fired him after what he did yesterday to hang out Justin Fields to dry. Number one, I don't need to see the faraway look in my quarterback's eye by drive two or drive three. That's not a good thing if I'm a Bears fan. But if Matt Nagy's my coach preparing me through the week, maybe I would have the faraway look even before the first drive of the football game. But that was comprehensive, I guess is the word, and you knew it. Another example by end of the first quarter, early part of the second quarter. Oh, this is sustainable. They're screwed. They've got no chance. It was fun to watch the pass rush come on once again. That's been a group that's responded. Bruce Arians said a couple of weeks ago that he challenged Shaq Barrett, and he's like, hey, at some point, man, I get that you're getting close. You're maybe affecting the quarterback within the pocket, but let's make some damn plays. Well, he's been excellent the last couple of weeks. JPP didn't practice all week long, but he doesn't really need to. That was an outgunned Chicago Bears offense that didn't leave extra bodies in to protect their quarterback, and yet they were deficient when it was 4-on-5 to block it up. It's a very simple game when you can't block at all. And to our credit, the stat came out early in the game. It was like we had return yardage of like 68 yards and offensive yardage of 28, and we're up 14-0. Now that's the thing. We didn't need a whole lot of production out of Brady and the offense to go between the 20s. We just cashed in for easy touchdowns based upon a special teams return and an interception return.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, it was interesting. It was there's a stretch where Tom Brady's not throwing the ball well. I know today he's being lauded repeatedly for his excellence, and he's been great this year. He's having a fantastic season. But there is a trend developing, and that is when he starts to miss, he misses. And he misses for a while.
He's missing high, too. That's the thing where, hey, man, you don't want to miss high.
Well, and he's missing touchdowns. I mean, it's a wide-open touchdown in the back of the end zone. He misses O.J. Howard by 20 yards. It's not close. It's as bad a throw as you're going to make in that situation.
Yeah, he missed Mike a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're nitpicking, but that's all you can do with a team that wins by that margin. There is a stretch, though, where, again, he misses six consecutive passes. He didn't have to do much, but he did throw four touchdowns and no picks, so you're never going to complain too much about that.
Well, what's crazy is that tied his career high for most consecutive incompletions. Did he have seven? I think he completed his next pass. That might be the most insane number on a day where he throws for his 600th career touchdown pass, and, you know, Romo and Nance couldn't have made more. I mean, my God, guys. I get it.
They're bored, dude.
I'm very happy with what I'm seeing. Trust me, I'm very happy as a Buck fan. But my God, guys, come off it a little bit. The fact that Nance has called 150 of those regular season touchdowns is pretty nuts, though.
It is, yeah. What's weird about the game is not that the Bucks won comfortably or that he threw four touchdowns. And, of course, for as long as he's been playing, it's not shocking to find out that he's the first to do this, 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 and this, in this case, 600 touchdowns. But
that's why that number to me, for he's played since I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Right? And it's six consecutive incompletions?
That's an amazing
thing. That's the number?
Yeah. Well, right. I mean.
Wow.
Yeah. And that happened, and I thought, well, that was interesting. But I also know that he's been battling that thing with his finger, so maybe there's part of it's that.
Yeah.
But when he's right, he's really right. I mean, dropped in the bucket. There are so many anticipatory throws that are fantastic. Tight windows. Puts it on Evans on that crossing yep. route where you've got to be a man to run the route, first of all.
Yep, the touchdown to Godwin is not an easy throw.
No, it's a great throw. It's the only place you can put it. Yeah, No, that's what I mean. It's hard. You don't get too mad for too long. But I noticed that at times he's not as accurate as we're accustomed to seeing him. And I got to guess that has something to do with the residual off the injury. Has to be. Because that or you lose concentration, but he doesn't strike me as a guy that loses concentration much. Let me ask you this.
No, he was furious with himself on the OJ one. He was again? You could see it in his own eyes. He said, Christ or something like that.
Yeah.
But you could tell he's like, again? I missed another one? What's wrong with me?
Well, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, there's nobody. I mean, it's a terrible throw. It's a throw you and I literally probably make. So that's kind of surprising to see that happen. But he's human. That said, did you find it odd they left the starters in as long as they did? I mean, we're into the fourth quarter with all of our starters out there.
I thought it was important that you saw some reps with Gabbert and the starters together, just in case of emergency. I don't know. You only get so many cracks at this, and next week you play the Saints before you go on the bye. I don't know. I think it's a long season, but there were different personnel groupings out there yesterday because of injury with Gronk and Antonio out. You're working on things. I think that's what's going on here. It's a long season. There's going to be attrition. We know that. So I think that what are they supposed to do? Bench, sit them down for a full half a game yesterday? I don't know. I think they're just working on some things.
I think I might have for the entirety of the fourth quarter and maybe late third. I just pulled it up because I wanted to double check. So Brady, 65 snaps. There was a grand total of 73 snaps. That's a lot. Gabbert had 8. I mean, I'm not talking about it's a lot in a normal game. I'm just saying it's a lot when you're up 38-3.
I think that starts with 12. I mean, there's a famous gif from years ago where Brock Osweiler think he's going to go in for the Broncos.
Right.
And he's got his helmet, and he's running down the sideline, and there's Peyton. He's just jogging in, and he's going to go to the huddle, and Brock goes, what the? You know.
Yeah.
He is incredulous.
I can't believe it. It's like a 40-point game.
You've got to be kidding me. This dude's 40 years old. We're beating them by a million.
Here we go.
I can't get a couple of reps.
I know.
And Peyton's like, nope. No reps.
I got
the reps.
Yeah. He does have the reps. But the Bucs, it is interesting. Again, I get that you want your guys out there, but 73 snaps for Wirfs and Kappa, Jensen, all of them played the 100% of the snaps that they could take. Then you had Marpet and Smith and basically Brady and pretty much everybody taking all the snaps they could take. I thought, okay, that's just fascinating.
I don't know. Maybe it was punishment for red zone woes. I don't know.
Yeah, that was annoying, frustrating, and they had to call timeout to boot down there and still didn't punch it in. So you call that timeout and come out with that ain't good.
So here's an interesting number for you. We all know that we lost on the road at L.A. this year. That was a game that they circled, and we had the Patriots coming up the following week, and they probably caught us a little bit. When is the second most recent loss? When was it suffered for the Bucs? Can you name it? Because we've only lost one time in a long time.
The second most recent loss.
Yep.
The Bears.
No, it was the Chiefs last year on Sunday afternoon. Remember, that was the game where we had the furious second half comeback.
Yeah, but we were getting beat down pretty good.
Oh, God. Tyreek went for like 400 yards receiving.
Yeah, he went nuts. It was embarrassing.
That was on November the 29th.
I don't know why I thought the Bears was after that.
It was earlier in the season.
Mm.
But it was on November the 29th of last year. We are coming close. This is a 425 kick against the Saints, and who knows? We'll see what they do tonight against an outgunned Seattle Seahawks team is playing at home on Monday Night Football. But you're getting perilously close to going a full year while suffering one loss in that time.
Yeah, no, it's remarkable. And the other part about it, and I've noticed this, people have brought up the fact that at home you just don't want to play with the Bucs. You do not want any part of that. This is a team that just lights it up. The numbers are extraordinary. Obviously, they're undefeated this year at home. They average over 41 points per game going into the game against the Bears at home. They could have probably scored 65. They really kind of kicked themselves in the second half with just the 3 points, but it drops to just over 40 points still. It's remarkable to think about that. We are in a heady place. As Tampa Bay fans, we're left to nitpick about 3 of 10 on third downs. We're left to nitpick about
The run defense has given some things up now. A couple weeks, we're like, need to tighten that up a little bit. I know Levante David will help matters, but we could be a little bit better there. But we have to. That's where we are. We're judging ourselves against ourselves and against the standard of winning a Super Bowl, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible to think back on it because there were times where we were wringing our hands about did we make the right move and all of this, and now it's just sort of a, guys, there's not a lot to talk about here. The Bucs are going to win the division. The Bucs are probably going to have plenty of games at home in the postseason. The question is now being asked about whether or not we did this. Was it last week's Scuttlebucks or the week before? I don't remember what it was, but I think we were sitting there just talking about what are the losable games? It's the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you play poorly, you can lose to anybody. But the more we did it, the more I was thinking, like, you got the Bills game really late in the year.
Yeah, on the 12th.
If the Bucs played well, that's about the only game on the schedule you think they're going to lose. It's
right.
Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you catch New Orleans on short rest this week. Now, we have to go into the Dome. You never know. I mean, listen, if they come and they play good defense in the red zone, and we have more red zone woes, and we're kicking a bunch of field goals,
Then
you can put yourself at a number like 24-27. It's in the fourth quarter, and the game's in touch. But you got the Saints this weekend, then the bye, much-needed bye. I think a lot of these dudes, especially in the secondary, you've already mentioned that, but in the trenches, could probably use a bit of a break.
This Washington football team, which is a disaster right now.
Rough go of it.
Yeah, they're not good. Then it's the Giants.
Did you see that situation, though, yesterday? So they got bailed out. The Packers, I understand we just won the Super Bowl. We went into their building in order to get to the Super Bowl, and then we won it. So I get that. They're probably talking about us and saying, oh, everything always goes the Bucs way. Brady gets calls. Jesus, man.
Yeah, they got
the stuff around the goal line. Like, I get it's the letter of the law that if a quarterback is diving, you have to as soon as he touches the ground.
Well, the fact that they called him down, it's really just the dumbest rule. I mean, it's not open for interpretation. He's clearly trying to score.
Right, exactly. It's not a giving yourself up. It's and he didn't need to. He could have walked in standing up, which was annoying.
In fact, he should have. Yeah.
Yeah.
And admittedly,
maybe they enforced it because it was stupid.
It was stupid. Although Heineke played pretty well.
He did.
They're
in the red zone for like an hour straight,
yeah,
and they don't score the 7 points in those situations.
I know.
But they're living in the Green Bay. I mean, the things they get with like the Lions on Monday Night Football a few years back, I mean, there's just always something that's going on in Lambeau Field. Now, it looks like they've also got it together. They're back. In the first 3 weeks of the season, we're like, oh, Green Bay's a mess. I don't know if they're going to be back in the conversation.
Yeah, they're fine.
Oh, they're back in the conversation now.
You know who's not fine if we're going to bring circling back to our division? And let's see what happens tonight with the Saints, because you're right.
Mm-hmm.
They ought to win, but if they don't, you can stamp this as a Bucs division championship period. I mean, I already think that's going to happen. It's going to happen if the Saints fool around and lose tonight. I mean, they got to get games they should get. But, I mean, you kind of watch – It's weird to watch the division right now. My suspicion of Carolina has turned out to be true. They're ass. They're not any good at all. That was all a mirage the first three games of the season because they played the three worst teams in football.
They're very aggressive. We know on the open market. It seems like any corner who was available, they got him before we did, except for Richard Sherman. They are among the finalists for Deshaun Watson's services. So even with Darnold starting hot, they were in negotiations. Now, according to insiders yesterday, and this is being taped on Monday afternoon, who knows, maybe the deal is done by the time you're listening to this.
Right.
But the Dolphins are the front runners, and the Texans have told other teams, you got to beat Miami's offer. Here's Miami's offer. That's how far along it's gotten. But Carolina is in the running.
Curious about Miami's offer. Also curious that they would do that this soon. I'm not sure about Tua, but because I'm not sure, I don't think I make this move with all this floating out there. I mean, he had moments yesterday where he was okay.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure I'm giving up on a guy that early, especially for a guy that we were not sure is going to be, you know, not incarcerated. We'll see.
Personally, I say go for it. Let's keep Deshaun out of the South. Let's keep him out of the NFC South.
Yes.
Let's move him over to the AFC East.
Make the move, right?
Right, exactly. So if that happens and you get the Schefter bomb or Ian Rappaport beats him to the punch and says, there it is. Deal is done. Deshaun to Miami for a couple of firsts and Tua or whatever it is. Good. You just don't want that dude in the division because Carolina could play defense a little bit. And if they had capable electric quarterback play, then if you're looking at the wins and losses tabulation for the rest of the season, you probably would change your opinion on the Panthers situation, because Deshaun's not going to get suspended this year. He's not going to be charged with a felony by the end of the calendar
right,
year.
Right,
so
right.
The NFL can't do anything about it.
Yes, but I also don't think he plays football this year. I
mean, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I could be wrong. I think that any team that takes him, the NFL is going to want to wait and see what happens here. If you're playing a guy that may be facing felony charges of sexual assault, maybe. We don't know that. That's not a good look for the NFL. I would imagine that they're going to hold off until we can get to some sort of clarity on that situation.
Well, Goodell may call the owner of whatever team acquires Deshaun Watson, but word, again, according to Rappaport and the other insiders, he's been working out and he's ready to go. So it's just a matter of learning the offense and he'll be ready to play.
It'd be wise for him to do so, and the player should always be prepared to play if he can. I just don't know that the league's going to let him to, is all I'm saying. Yes, I don't have any doubt that he's ready to play. In fact, he probably desperately wants to play. I mean, he's losing out here. And so, it would be interesting to see who makes that move. Carolina might be wise to make a move for quarterback. I know they just did.
But man, well, that was low risk, though. You don't have hardly any money committed to Sam Darnold. It's like, let's give it a try.
Yeah, yeah. Not working.
No.
Not working.
No. go up to Jersey and get...
Not working out, man.
I mean, that was bad.
I wonder if the Bucs are going to end up suffering from... And listen, it's the league. It's every weekend. You got to prepare and play hard and all those things. I get it. But I really worry that the Bucs are going to go through a stretch. Now, I mean, think about this. The Patriots, the Dolphins, the Eagles, the Bears, to some extent this Saints team coming up, Washington, the Giants, Colts.
And he's kind of gotten it together a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Atlanta. Man, they're going to go through this season and play a whole lot of butt-sorry teams, including the capper late in the year or the last two games are against the Jets and the Panthers. I mean, they're going to be hitting the postseason. On the one hand, hey, that's great. If you need to rest guys and got to get right and all that good
stuff.
You're
worried about how battle-tested they're going
to
be.
I am. To some extent, I'm worried about how battle-tested they're going to be. The schedule is turning into a joke. Not the Bucks' fault. Not our fault that we're really good and that this division is not. It's not the Bucks' fault that this year they're playing a bunch of teams out of their division that aren't good. The Bears are terrible. The Giants are terrible. The Eagles are terrible. I'm not real sure that Patriots team's any good.
Wish we were playing Dallas in January just to get
the
blood going.
We did play Dallas out the gate. That win looks better every day. It's impressive. The fact that you've had to play both the Cowboys and the Rams and went 1-1 there, okay, fine. But, man, everything else, Jets, RES, Carolina.
That Bills game feels like a roadie.
That Bills game.
That does fit with our personal day-to-day job schedule pretty nicely.
You want to go to Buffalo? I'll go with you, buddy.
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, December the 5th, that Sunday, or I guess the 4th, is conference championship weekend. Don't have to worry about that up here.
Yeah,
haven't had to in a long time.
No, unfortunately, yeah.
And that's Army-Navy weekend.
Oh, buddy, we could turn this into a crazy time.
Or we could just throw a shebang up here for it. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I think good times, right. That's a 4:25 kick in Buffalo in December. You ready to be cold?
No, it's here.
Oh, that's here. Yeah.
Meaning Tampa. Sorry, in the state of Florida.
That is here. You are correct. I don't know why I was thinking it was Buffalo. That would have been really cool to go up to Buffalo.
Oh, man.
That would have been really
cool.
Yeah.
Boy.
Because you said Army-Navy, and I thought, God, that's up there. Yeah.
Army-Navy's in
Philadelphia?
I think it's at East Rutherford this year.
This year? Well, yeah. I mean, we've been right there.
Sort of. Yeah, it's a different country.
I mean, yeah. But the
Jersey and Buffalo are like very, you know, right across from Manhattan. It's a different country.
I'm just saying you're not that far away compared to being in Florida if that game was there. But the bottom line is it's in Tampa. Does feel like a game to go to, and does feel like the one we should circle and have a good time with. I've said this before, those uniforms on the field at the same time are going to look absolutely stunning.
Oh, the aforementioned Washington football team Green Bay game this weekend is the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, how beautiful was that? Those Green Bay uniforms were awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is absurd.
I loved it. Yeah, I agree with you. The league is a weird league right now. I'm going to continue to say that. Cincinnati is a legitimately good football team.
That's the best win of the weekend, even better than Tennessee's, I think.
It may be the biggest win of the year for anybody. It was incredible. I mean, it was thorough. It was devastating. It was, I mean, nasty the way that they dominated that team. That win suggests that Cincinnati's about to be good for a long time. And again, Joe Burrow, every time I watch him, I'm like, okay.
Swagger.
Yeah. Oh,
but
completely.
Through aptitude. It's not hollow. No, he just knows.
Knows the game.
Yeah.
He knows the game.
And they're held down for much of the first half. So that's a 40-burger in about, 35 minutes of football? That's crazy.
Yeah, and their defense has gotten so much better, to your point. So a lot of fun to watch that. They're legit. Obviously, the Rams continue to be legit. The Lions threw everything they had at them, every fake under the sun, every special teams play imaginable.
I was proud of the Lions yesterday.
They fought. They cared. They played so well. I love DeAndre Swift, who I also have in fantasy, so of course that's worked out. But, I mean, it's too much to overcome. That relationship right now with Cooper Kupp, doing what he's doing with Matthew Stafford,
Yeah, yesterday was a throwback to, I forget what year it was. It was probably like around 2013, 2014. Remember when Vegas had so many double-digit spreads that were being covered?
Mm-hmm.
Seattle was one of those teams. New England, of course, was one of those teams. There might have been another power group or two, maybe Denver. I don't know. But there were so many, 12 to 17-point spreads that were being easily covered that Vegas couldn't generate a number big enough for the halves, for that group. That's what it felt like yesterday. I mean, all these teams that were supposed to blow somebody out, I'm sure they had a bad weekend, at the betting cages. I'm sure that those rooms, that they were handing out money left over right.
Right.
Because if you parlayed, Arizona with the Bucks, with...
I sent you my little parlay, buddy.
Right. Yeah. You did. I saw that in motion. Sorry about that.
I had a good weekend with that. That was fun. I mean, it's...
If you picked the big teams to blow out the little teams, you were correct. And those were easy street, man.
Arizona continues to be fun to watch and makes plays, and the addition of Zach Ertz, you saw his long touchdown, and I know they played the Texans, so I won't go on and on. They're 31-5, but yeah, the NFL is kind of easy right now. Kansas City's not good. We're going to have to stop saying, after a while you just believe in what you're seeing, and he's playing terribly, Mahomes. Their offensive line is not better despite the overall. In fact, I don't know that it's I don't know if it's better than what we saw in the Super Bowl. It looks terrible.
Yeah, I saw yesterday, I don't know which Joe of our two pals retweeted this, but the thought was the Bucks broke Kansas City.
Yeah.
Maybe we did. Maybe we did.
Well, and
with one
Mahomes,
Antoine Winfield peace sign in the face of the mother of his child choker, Tyreek Hill, that's it. We broke him.
The Chiefs generated 67 yards in the first two quarters. They average under 4 yards per play.
Mm.
In a world in which Patrick Mahomes has those weapons.
Right, right.
Under 4 yards per play and a grand total of 67 yards through the first two quarters. Sir, something more is wrong with them than just that offensive line. They've got issues. There are throws Patrick Mahomes is making that I think if that's anybody else, we kill him. We kill him.
Yeah, well, absolutely, meaning the criticism from the media.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's using up all of that equity that he's built over the last few years, and he's trying to, it looks like, I told you today on the phone when we were talking, it looks like he's trying to score 12 points a drive. I think he's overwhelmed by how epically bad that defense is, that he's trying to do more than he's capable of the world, but he's trying to give the universe or the galaxy instead of the world to Kansas City, and it's just completely backfired. And he almost got broken in half at the end of the game yesterday.
Oh, that was ugly, dude, with the knee to the head and all that. Yeah, nothing illegal or cheap about that. It's just he's on his way.
When you extend plays like that, you put your body in weird positions.
Well, and he's doing something dumb. He's getting sacked. He's on his way down. He's trying to make a throw, and he gets scorpioned, and you're like, well, this...
That's it. He got scorpioned.
He got scorpioned.
Right.
It's not good.
But they're at, if you're talking about the race, right, and thankfully the AFC is, I think they've got more good teams. The NFC is sneaky good, but the AFC has a lot more contenders that would scare us from a matchup standpoint, and I'm glad that they have to sort it all out over there. But Kansas City has exited the discussion. Cincinnati has entered the discussion.
Without question.
Baltimore's still there. I still.
Yeah, it was just a weird game. But in Baltimore, they'll be there. They did look bad, though.
Tennessee has increased their stock.
And continue to.
Buffalo is physical. I mean, that is a one physical ass conference over there. That is going to be awesome to watch in the postseason.
Yeah, it is. I guess the surprise of the weekend, without question, is 41-17 Cincinnati over Baltimore. To me, that's the bigger surprise. Just the sheer dominance in the second half of that game. And Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the rookie of the year. He is a stud. Joe Burrow finds him every which way to Sunday and puts it on him accurately. All the catch woes in the preseason turned out to not be a worry whatsoever.
Just under 750 yards in his first seven games.
Yeah, that'll work. And tonight we get, obviously, Saints and Seahawks. So why are we talking about the rest of the league? Because we're just sizing up who the Bucs are going to have to play either in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. Yeah. And that's what makes this a fun campaign, is that you're playing with house money. You're the reigning world champions. You have garnered every kind of positive PR that there is. The Bucs have probably changed the franchise image forevermore. They're really good, making a second consecutive run at a Super Bowl. They have a legitimate shot to win it all. And so each week, you just knock on wood that they stay relatively healthy. They have not in the secondary. That's where we've got to get right, hopefully by season's end. All that's happened to start this year is rectified with guys coming back and being right. I'm tired of looking at this every weekend where we lose guys in the secondary. But for the most part, there's just not a lot to talk about, especially because the schedule is soft. Now, this is not college. You can't rip the team for scheduling a soft schedule. This is just computer-generated plus your division. What are you going to do? There's nothing they can do.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something I was going to say about college relative to pro. When you're a really good college program, when you're top five, you know, for years in a row, as Florida State was eons ago, had a lot fewer gray hairs at the time. When you play an FCS opponent or a low-level FBS opponent, man, you watch that game so differently, and you take less joy in watching those games.
We just did it over the weekend.
Right. Well, that was fun, because it was like yesteryear. Throwback Saturday. I don't get sick of watching my Buccaneers beat up on bad NFL teams.
No, either do I, and it's fun.
I watch every freaking play.
Oh, sure.
It's great. Not winning a playoff game from the Super Bowl until last season has ingrained in me, I think, forever.
Don't take it for granted.
Because I grew up in an era where you could. Oddly enough, by the time I was 10, 11 years old, we had the pewter helmets. We had the pewter pants.
Yeah, see, I didn't grow up in that era.
And we had
changed. I saw lots of losses before that. Yeah.
So it came easy to me. Now, I do remember, I was old enough for the Alvin Harper, Eric Redd, Michael Husted teams. Oof. I remember, though. Courtney was his name.
Yeah.
But it was a race quickly, and we were more of a winning football brand than not for anybody who was my age. But then you go 20 years without winning a playoff game, man, I will watch every play, and I will smile watching every play. And the other thing I'm happy about, just looking at the schedule coming up, got a 4:25 kickoff, America's Game of the Week again, whatever, on Fox this weekend against the Saints. Bye week. And then three of the next four games are at 1 o'clock. I'm ready. I'm ready to have more 1 o'clock
kickoffs. 1 o'clock, enjoy that. Yeah,
these non-1 o'clocks are driving me batty, man.
This is what happens when you're the star of the show, buddy. This is what happens when you're the star of the show, and the Bucs are the star of the show. I mean, the NFL's got a three-part act. You know, there's three or four teams and lead actors that you go, okay, every week we're going to see some of these guys. The Bucs are the biggest star in the show because the Cardinals are great, but nobody cares. And the Rams are newly great, and a few people care. Green Bay is a star. The Bucks are a star.
Dallas
is without question a star. But we're the one who's the reigning champion with the greatest quarterback of all time. So we went out 9 times out of 10 as the biggest star in the show.
And it's worth noting, because it also has been 20 years, we have a proper home field atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a generation since we've had it. That's important as you go into the playoffs, that you keep Brady's arm warm. His body, he already says it. He openly admits, I don't like the cold anymore, man. I need to get out of the cold.
Well,
he can handle it.
Keep winning games. You'll be hosting everything in Tampa.
He can handle it in a given week. We went up to Lambeau, and he lit it up in the first half.
Yeah.
But you keep that dude home, and also the Brady effect, I think, does induce a couple of more yellow hankies to hit the turf per game.
I also think the Brady effect can be viewed not just with resentment by the rest of the league and the way that we held it against him when he was in New England about those flags, but also the willingness to prepare each week guarantees that team is focused. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, is that, you get benefit of doubt from officials and all that good stuff, But, man, your team is always prepared. Guys look like they care and come out playing.
Well, that's a couple of takeaways from yesterday's game are that they did come out, they looked prepared, and they didn't have two of his favorite targets. I have to have down distance. We just talked about this last Monday. Who does he go to? It's Gronk, then it's Antonio. Then there's a gulf till Godwin and Fournette maybe, and then there's a gulf and it's Mike, you know. But we were able to execute yesterday at a high level without the big pieces.
Oh, without question.
That was really good
and
to see.
He force-fed Mike. That was nice.
And then Ronald Jones looked good. That was important as well.
First time this year. He looked good. Yeah, he did play well. It was good to see. Yeah, they're knock on wood, this continues, kids. It's been fun. And don't forget to go see our friends over at Bill Curry Ford. Check out all the latest that they have in stock, BillCurryFord.com, where you go over there to the actual lot. Beautiful, right down from the stadium, about less than a mile from the stadium.
That's
so,
right.
Bill Curry Ford, we appreciate your support as always. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks for listening to the Scuttlebucks. Let's just keep on rolling, boys and girls. We'll talk to you again soon.